This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, a little dancing in the street. I don't know if you call it dancing in the street, what's been going on most recently these past several weeks. I guess there is some dancing along with running and jumping and throwing and I don't know what else. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. Delighted to follow a great program, by the way, every time I come on. Good morning, Clearwater, with Paul and Tracy. Isn't that a great show? You know, they're so energetic. It makes me sick. No. We love them. Good morning, America. Monday through... Good morning, America. Good morning, Clearwater, as well as America. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Network. Anyway, this is Freedom Works. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed. Hey, thank you for joining us. It's Friday, June 26th, and in a few minutes, Josh Smith of the Center for Opportunity and Growth. It's a product of... Utah State University is going to join us, and we are going to talk about the misguided, you might say, decision by the Trump administration to limit immigration during the pandemic. That is the position of the Center for Opportunity and Growth. We will find out why. And... was there an ambush of Tampa police last weekend? An ambush? Well, the police chief, Tampa's police chief, seems to think so. It's all part of the ongoing confrontations around the country. And we're going to talk about it with Andrew Cerisi. He is the very energized proprietor of the only mainstream poll that counts, the Barber Poll. So I know you will want to stay tuned for that. And is the Affordable Care Act doomed? Well, the Trump administration has filed a brief that has the chance to completely overturn it. And we're going to talk about that chance. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, it's summertime and the whole bit. So we got to thinking, who are the top 10 all-time richest golfers, living or dead? We're going to tell you, so stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are here, Freedom Works, every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Great Tan Talk Network. And we're delighted you are joining us. But if you can't listen to us live, we got a treat for you. Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast. You can listen to the same show over and over again. It's kind of like waterboarding if you listen more than twice. So just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look for the podcast button. You punch that in, and you'll see the date of the show. You will see who the guest is. You will see our top 10. All you want to know right there, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay. Well, I found this to be very interesting. The Trump administration last night filed a brief in a highly charged Supreme Court case that has the potential to completely overturn Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, whichever is your preferred term, in the third direct assault on the law that's come before the tribunal since Obamacare came into being in 2010. Can you believe that it's been 10 years since Obamacare? You know, the older you get, the faster time goes. But it shocks me to think it's been 10 years with Obamacare. Now, the case in particular is California versus Texas. And it's brought by a group of red states that argue that because Congress eliminated the financial penalty associated with the mandate, remember you had to pay a penalty if you didn't have it on your income tax? Since Congress eliminated that, the provision that requires us to get health insurance is no longer valid. There's no requirement, right? And it's no longer a valid exercise of the government to tax, and that therefore makes the Affordable Care Act unconstitutional, right? The Supreme Court reading the mandate as a tax is what saved it. Remember John Roberts cast that very surprising at the time deciding vote, claiming that it was really a tax? Well, it was not a tax. Of course it wasn't a tax. And the government can't force you to buy a product. It's a product. The government can't force you to buy something you don't want. You can't do it. So the red states further argue that the individual mandate is not severable from the rest of the law. You can't take it out and allow the rest of the law to stay there. It's like pulling apart the middle of a chicken or something. Everything starts to fall apart. So it's not severable from the rest of the law, meaning it was so instrumental when it was originally passed that the rest of the law also needs to be declared invalid. So that's what the Trump administration is pushing. And we'll see where this goes. The Supreme Court will hear it, will hear this case in its next term, okay, which is this fall. So that means that they will hear it this fall, and then you'll hear the ruling probably sometime in the spring or summer of 2021. So in the meantime, the Affordable Care Act continues. But it will be interesting to see now that you no longer have to, it's no longer a tax, what John Roberts is going to say. Because John Roberts will be the key. I do not believe the other four conservative justices are going to change their opinions. I think they will go along with the idea that Obamacare is not constitutional. You can't force somebody to buy a product. Okay, let us take our break. And when we come back, I think we're going to have a very interesting discussion with Josh Smith from the Center for Opportunity and Growth about what they call the misguided decision by the Trump administration to limit immigration during the pandemic.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back on a Friday and delighted to have Josh Smith join us. He is a research manager for the Center for Opportunity and Growth at Utah State University. And the center is taking a stance that reducing or suspending immigration to the United States right now by the Trump administration is misguided. Josh, thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about why is it wrong or not or misguided for the president to want to limit immigration during a pandemic.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Sure.
It's great to be here.
My pleasure.
The one thing that all your listeners should know about immigration policy is that people bring prosperity. Over and over again, we see this come out in the research. People come to the U.S. in the search of opportunity, and they make all of us wealthier because of that.
Yes, I don't think anybody would deny it. And you make a very good point in your article, and the article by the Center. Such people as Alexander Graham Bell, who showed up. I guess he came from Italy. I'm not sure where he came from, actually. Maybe it was Scotland. And, we got the telephone out of it. And there's all kinds of immigrants that have done wonderful things. But during a pandemic, when we are limiting immigration because we're afraid that we might be bringing in people that might be infected, and therefore all countries, are doing the same kind of a thing, do you not see where Donald Trump and his administration might have a point?
I think there's good cause for common sense public health measures that limit the movement of everyone. I mean, when I see my neighbors now, I worry. My friends who live next door, I worry about seeing because they are risks to me. And I think that certainly applies in the immigration space as well. But recent moves to limit H-1B visas, which are for highly trained professionals, are going to just end up shooting us in the foot in our attempts to recover from COVID-19.
Yes, but isn't Trump doing this on a temporary basis? I think this thing expires in December of this year, correct?
Yeah, these are temporary measures, but our response needs to start now, not in December. And for example, a lot of the people who would come on H-1B visas, who are those highly trained professionals, they're going to work for U.S. Tech and research companies, medical research companies that are working to develop cures and treatments for COVID-19. And so we need to start admitting more of these kinds of people to come to the U.S. and work, not fewer.
So do you think that part of the reason Trump is limiting this immigration is because he does not want workers in the United States to be kind of challenged by maybe people with equal or better skills coming from overseas? Is that part of it?
I think there's certainly an economic argument made. If you read through the executive order, that's one of the key points that President Trump makes. I think that's misguided, and that's because even back in the Great Depression, people made these same kinds of arguments, and now we're seeing similar unemployment numbers. But studies then of the Mexican repatriation, which is where the U.S. took or sent a lot of Mexicans back into Mexico and trying to protect the U.S. workers, that ended up not working. Research showed then that, again, people bring prosperity, and sending people out of the U.S. didn't make U.S. workers more likely to find a job, and it didn't improve their wages.
We're talking with Josh Smith. He is a research manager for the Center for Opportunity and Growth at Utah State University. Great university, by the way, in Utah. So, Josh, when Trump made this executive order, did it specifically target people with certain skills? Or, you know what I mean? What is, are we are we not still allowing certain people to come over at, you know, from different countries? I honestly have not read the executive order in its entirety, so I'm actually asking this out of trying to figure out what it really says.
Yeah, the executive order that President Trump issued restricts a few different visas. Some of them are for temporary agricultural, non-agricultural employment. So one that was exempted that they're still allowing a lot of workers in are agricultural workers. But the big issue that surprised a lot of people who work in immigration policy, and certainly surprised me, is that they restricted the H-1B visas for highly skilled professionals. That's exactly as I said earlier. It's shooting ourselves in the foot as we try to recover.
Yeah. No, I think you make a good point about that. You know, immigration is a big issue. Donald Trump has kind of staked his claim on closing borders. Two reasons. One is, you know, people coming in illegally, of course. And I don't think you can, you know, have much of a great argument against allowing illegals to come pouring through. And then the other thing is because he does want to protect our workers. He does use that. And I think, you know, he's kind of a populist. I think he hits a nerve with a lot of people, don't you? The unions in particular. What do you think?
I think that the issue with illegal immigration is a problem that needs systematic reform. And so I'm from a small town. I'm a town with more cows than people. And one of the stories I grew up with is about irrigating apple orchards. And to irrigate apple orchards, you run water through ditches. And the story goes like this, that there's a little Jimmy's in charge of keeping the water running through so that the orchard thrives. And one day he's out there trying to build these little dams that force the water that's running out of the ditch back into the ditch. And his father looks out and shakes his head, sees him doing this, grabs a shovel and comes out and clears the debris, the weeds that have grown up in the ditch out so the water can flow through. And that's the kind of reform that we need. We need systematic reform that makes it possible for people to come legally. People don't want to come illegally. People want to come and be full citizens or at least have the opportunity to work legally.
So are you saying that we need to change the rules in terms of people that are waiting to enter the United States? We are trying to get, we have been, at least to my way of thinking, one of the most generous countries in the world in terms of allowing people to come here over the, you know, over the decades and over the generations. But we have to have some sort of, you know, systematic way of doing it. And as best we can, we try to get them through the system. People that wait for a long time, and indeed, there are many that have been waiting for years to come in. What can we do? What do you think should be done that's not being done now?
Right. I think a really promising opportunity for immigration reform is to create an entrepreneurship visa, to create a visa that specifically says, if you have an idea that you want to start and build something here in the U.S., then you should be allowed to come and do exactly that. And that's an area that we could have a lot of bipartisan support. We'd be able to provide economic growth during COVID-19 and be able to start a strong recovery where people come in, start businesses, and again, people will bring prosperity.
Well, you know, it's a good idea. I really think it is an interesting thought, but the devil is in the details, is it not? I mean, how do you determine what's a good idea? You know, ideas are just things up in the air. There's nothing concrete about them. I think it might be hard, I would think, in the details to enforce it or to figure it out. What do you say to that?
There's challenges with every policy. I agree. Here, though, there's such potential in letting people come and try out ideas. You're right. It would be a bad idea to let other people weigh in on business owners' ideas. We want people to come in and try new things. That's how we get things, like you said, Alexander Graham Bell, who started AT&T. And then even poor immigrants like Andrew Carnegie, who came to the U.S. from Scotland. He starts working in the steel industry and becomes a titan of industry. And now across the country, there are Carnegie libraries. And that's where I grew up reading, is on the steps of a Carnegie library mm-hmm. in Richmond, Utah. And I think that's the story for immigration. Let people come and try to find that opportunity.
Sure.
And they'll find it and make us all better off.
Well, I don't think anybody would argue with that against it. We do want good people to come. And I've never heard anybody saying, I want to stop immigration, period. But we got two things going on. We got a lot of illegal, maybe 12 million people here that came illegally. And you just can't turn your head from that. You know, we got to deal with that. And then we got the pandemic, which indeed every country is limiting its intake of people right now, as you know, and probably wisely so. So, I mean, again, this is it's very interesting that that your organization would take the stand. This is a temporary, you know, situation. If things have, you know, God willing, we're going to be in December, you know, we're going to be over most of this, we would hope, maybe even a vaccine. Don't you think that they would then, lift this executive order?
I think that's the best path forward, Paul, but I think that we can supercharge our recovery by starting that now, by removing restrictions against highly skilled workers coming to the U.S. I think that's the kind of economic growth and stimulus that would really improve our recovery, both in terms of health and in terms of the economy.
Do you think there are certain countries we should favor with this? I mean, European countries over African countries? Or, you know what I mean? I mean, how are you going to determine who comes? Are you going to give them an IQ test and say, well, you know, these guys have the potential of, I mean, how are you going to figure that out?
I think that we want to allow lots of people to come because we don't know the best idea. We should let people who have ideas come and test them in the U.S. So, for example...
Well, anybody has an idea. You know, I can come from anywhere. I might be unemployed and poor, but I can have an idea. Do I get turned away, whereas a guy that comes in with, let's say, a master's degree from someplace? I mean, how do you do that?
And that's a good point, because ideas come from all over. And even the people who are low-skilled or uneducated serve in vital roles in the U.S. economy. So if you remember the empty store shelves that your listeners probably saw in their own grocery stores, we have to thank for having those shelves filled back up today a lot of agricultural workers from Mexico and Central America. Without them, the crops literally, as farmers will tell you, will rot in the field. There aren't enough people who come and will work those hard manual labor jobs.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, do you think you have any chance of getting this thing, this executive order, suspended before December?
I think at the center, what we're doing is providing an academic voice in a lot of these discussions, saying, here's what the research says. And so I'm going to continue making the positive case that immigration is a way for economic prosperity, that people bring prosperity. And I think that's the one thing that all listeners for every radio show and for yours in particular should know, is that people seeking opportunity are a way for all of us to gain.
Mm-hmm. Well, Josh, it's a pleasure talking with you, and really appreciate the time you spent with us. Maybe down the road we'll be talking again.
Thanks again, Paul. It was great to be here.
Our pleasure. Josh Smith from the Center for Opportunity and Growth at Utah State University. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, boy, oh boy, the last time I spoke with Andrew Ceresi, he was energized. Let's see if he's as energized when we talk to him again.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good, who never ever learned to read or write so well, but he could play a guitar just like a ringing a bell. Go, go!
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye.
Hey, we are back. And before we get to the proprietor of the barber pole, I want to tell you that maybe lost in the shuffle a little bit, Governor Ron DeSantis here in Florida has signed into law legislation that further expands the voucher programs and the scholarship programs for kids here. I think it's a good thing. The measure, which went down to the final hours of the session for 2020, makes it easier for families to become eligible for financial support to attend a private school. And it quadruples the rate at which the vouchers would grow on an annual basis. Now, since taking office, DeSantis has actively supported school choice. A year ago, he enacted the Family Empowerment Scholarship. And it set aside $130 million to help up to 18,000 low-income kids. So I think that's good. You know, I think, Andrew, that Ron DeSantis, under the circumstances, he's had a lot of things to battle. But I think he's doing a pretty good job. What do you think?
I think he's doing a great job, considering all everything that's going on. Let's be real. Same thing with Trump. Look at everything. And we're going to get even more, you know, as we get closer to November.
Yeah.
There's going to be more and more episodes of whatever they can. We all know that.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about all of these polls? Because every time I'm looking at the polls most recently, Biden is increasing his lead, even in some of the states like Florida and Michigan and, and some of the others, Wisconsin, where he needed them last time to win, and he did win them. But what do you think?
It's a joke. You know it, and I know it. You know, look at Hillary Clinton in 2016, Paul.
Yeah.
Come on. So what did they have, 92% or something, and Trump had 8%?
So do you think it's just a matter of the polls being wrong, or it's just
I think it's just
early?
The polls are just calling the Democrats. It's unpleasant.
Oh, okay.
even right up at the end, you know, they still had Hillary Clinton landsliding. Forget the polls.
Now,
all the polls that are coming up, you know, they're all liberal polls, too.
Hey, speaking about Biden, I want to get your thoughts. He has declared that over 125 million people here in the U.S. have died from the virus. It's amazing. I thought it was only a couple of thousand, but apparently it's 125 million that have died. That means that one-third of our, no, about...
population.
About three-fifths of our population.
Paul, that leads me right into the question of the day.
Okay.
You led me right into this one.
Good.
Now, do you remember when President Trump got inaugurated in the first couple months or... like 50 of the top psychologists in the country said they're watching him on TV and he's showing signs of dementia and signs that he's not fit. What happened to those famous psychologists in this country? What's going with Biden?
They all had nervous breakdowns. That's what happened to them.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes,
we got to pull the 25th Amendment. The psychology.
I think even liberals are a little bit worried about Biden talking too much because he's going to say something that shows that it ain't connecting. Sometimes the wiring is not connecting.
No, something's not connecting. Yeah. There's no question about it.
You know, there is.
I really foresee everything that's going on. You remember? I think it was 1964 when Hubert Humphrey was running against Nixon.
In 64?
63, 64. I was just a kid. So I'm trying to remember.
Let me think, because I was just a kid then, too. Don't you go sneaking that one up on me. But you know who ran? No, Goldwater was the Republican.
Was it Goldwater? Okay. Yeah, okay, Goldwater. Was it Goldwater then?
Yeah, in 64.
And he was running against Nixon.
No.
And do you know
No. Goldwater and Nixon were Republicans.
Okay, well then, listen.
He ran against Lyndon Johnson in 64, Goldwater.
Okay, Goldwater. Well, who is it that ran against Nixon?
In 68, Hubert Humphrey.
It was Hubert Humphrey.
Yeah.
And remember in 68, there was a lot of uproars going on.
Oh, God, yeah. I was living in Chicago as a kid, and we were having all kinds of demonstrations in the city, yeah?
Right, right. Yeah. That's what got Richard Nixon elected, if you recall.
I think you're right.
And you know, we're headed in the same direction. There's no question.
No, in fact, there is some similarity to it. A vice president, Hubert Humphrey, of the last administration, Lyndon Johnson's, was running against, Nixon. And indeed, with all of the demonstrations going on, Nixon won handily.
That's right. You're going to see this. People are fed up, Paul. You know, you got to look at this election right now because people are afraid to even say the word Trump as much as they love him because of all these radicals getting their cars destroyed, their homes paid, you know. This is all going on all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
The Titanic got sunk by a so-called little iceberg on the top of the water, remember?
Right. Yes.
But what was underneath that water, Paul?
Yes.
That's what I'm calling the silent majority. But that iceberg is so big under the water that the people have no clue what's going to happen.
No.
And I really think we're going to take over the House of Representatives. We're going to keep the Senate and the presidency.
Well, wait a second. If we take over the House of Representatives, then Nancy Pelosi won't be the Speaker of the House?
That's what I'm
hoping. I'm going to get emotional now.
That's all. You know, Paul, I really foresee it happening.
Okay.
How can it not? You know, the people that are causing all these problems right now in this country, what are they basically? 1-3% of our population, maybe, if that?
You know, I was just thinking as you were talking about this, we've got Joe Biden with a little incapacity every once in a while. And then I hear Nancy Pelosi, and I get the impression she's a little... You ever listen to her trying to...
Where are those psychologists, Paul?
Did you ever...
Calling all psychologists.
And
then, where are you?
And then she won't take back a statement she made that implies that somehow the Republicans are responsible for the death of George Floyd by the police in Minneapolis. Somehow... The Trump administration and Republicans. And when she was asked to reconsider that, she said, no, that's the way I feel. I mean, that to me, that indicates there's something going on with her, too, that may not be right.
Of course. Well, Paul, let's face it. She's, 80 years old?
Then
you got Dianne Feinstein. What is she, about a ripe 86? I don't know.
Yeah, they got
Dianne. You know, I mean, come on, man. These people shouldn't even be in the position they are.
And Chuck Schumer is no spring chicken, either.
No, but he was a whack job years ago.
Yeah, he's been a little wacky for a long time. What do you think?
You know,
go ahead.
No,
it's all right. You finish.
I was going to lead into what happened in Tampa there with the police, Paul.
Yes.
You know, I don't understand Jane Castor at all.
Now,
here you had a so-called policewoman that was made police chief, has her policeman ambushed, and what is she doing?
Well, I think it might be, you know, and I think it is. Well, what are you going to do about it, lady? Your city's in an uproar here, and you're actually turning on your own police, as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
she should know better.
The Tampa police chief did indeed say that he believes they were ambushed, and that's Chief Brian Dugan.
Oh, yeah, and they're all protesting him, you know. They don't like him at all. The guy's doing a great job. He's a great police chief, okay?
Well, two of Dugan's cops were injured.
That's what I'm saying.
It did look like a setup. It did look like a setup. When you look at what were all those people doing there if it wasn't a setup?
Really, they were eating a pizza in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
They
surrounded the officers. They threw bottles and glass. They jumped on a cop vehicle. The police could not locate the so-called victim, the reason they were called there. I mean, there was... What's going on with people? And now, speaking of that, Christian symbols are being vandalized. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. No
Christian figures and symbols, including Jesus, have become the target.
You know, this is what happened in Nazi Germany.
So this gets us back to, if we are so apathetic, indeed, our system and form of government could be overturned. Look what happened in Venezuela.
A great and rich,
the richest country in South America was Venezuela, with all of its oil. With all of its oil, and now look at it. People are starving in the streets. So
yep.
I don't know what people are thinking, but people that would overturn those things, and the Lincoln statues, and the Andrew Jackson.
No, Paul, and the still one thing we had.
They just don't like this. They don't like this country. They don't like what they don't like capitalism. They don't like what our country stands for, or they're just stupid. I think there's a combination of both. Go ahead.
Again, you're 100% right, but remember one thing our country has that Venezuela doesn't have.
Don't tell me. We have Americans. No, go ahead. I'm just kidding.
We have Americans with a lot of guns.
We do have a lot of guns. Hey, by the way, I noticed Illinois, which is usually a blue state, they're running out. People are flocking to gun stores in Illinois.
Paul, did you see last month they had record sales of guns in this country?
Yeah, and right now we're having it.
Florida alone, but it was like 1.7 million.
People are afraid. People are, even the ones that are liberal are going and getting guns. Even the liberals are getting guns.
Like I say, Paul, the iceberg is underwater, my friend.
So where is this all leading? Is this leading to Trump being reelected? And if he's
Trump's going to be reelected.
Okay.
Biden and their vice president, they think is going to outpoll Trump. You know what I'm saying?
No, but you do agree. I mean, I know you love Donald Trump. I know you do. And I like him, and I'll vote for him again. But you do agree that sometimes his personality is a real turnoff, isn't it? The way he comes across, about his, sort of...
You know, Paul, Paul, some people like tomatoes, some people like potatoes. You know?
Do you like it when he talks like that?
I love when he hammers people.
My administration, why doesn't he say, when he's talking there, I say, Donald, don't say my, say our administration. Be inclusive with, my people. Our people? It sounds better. Can't somebody take him aside and say, hey, Mr. President, can I give you a couple of thoughts here on when rather than boast about me all the time. That's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, like Paul, he has an aggressive personality, and you sit there and talk nice and sweet all the time. People don't understand you. He's talking at a level that people know just what he's talking about.
No, I think you can be strong like he is with the things that he says. I'm not saying that. Sometimes it's just like it's an all me. I don't know.
Paul?
Yeah?
I don't think it's the person. Well, it is the personality that will make this country great. But it is. It's the personality that's going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's the brain behind that personality.
I really
what it takes.
I cannot wait for the debates. I hope they really are. can you imagine the two completely different personalities up there?
I would not want to be Joe Biden. They're going to have an earpiece in every ear he's got.
Yeah.
They know he's the guy. They're going to have to give him the questions a month ahead of time to study him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because someone's going to sneak in the question.
Here's the thing that I foresee. Unless you have some really good, objective media people that are asking the questions.
No, they're going to be light on him and hard on Trump.
There you go. So what I would suggest to Trump is that he have his own questions for Biden and stop from lobbing those softballs. Say, hey, why don't you ask Joe this about Ukraine and his son and this and that?
Let me ask you one question, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Now, you were talking about Trump's personality.
Yes.
Now, if they sit there and start doing that, what do you think Donald Trump is going to do right on stage?
He's going to go
right at the news.
He'll tell them right to their face. I see
that's
you're not asking the right questions here.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, again, that's where his personality is going to win, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, I got to ask you about the new rule in Pinellas County. Everybody has to wear a mask. The people that are coming into the stores and the store people themselves, right? So you go into the grocery store now, everybody's got to wear a mask, I guess. You could be fined $100, I think it is, if you don't wear a mask on the first offense.
Yeah, Paul, you know, they're talking all this stuff. I don't think you're going to enforce it. People are wearing them. You go out, they got the people scared, they got them on. So,
yeah.
You know what, Paul, if it pacifies them, if it makes them feel better, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's hurting my business. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Paul, at this point, let it go.
Yeah.
Because things are going to turn around. They're playing their games, and we got to make our moves. It's like playing chess.
We're talking with the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, are you optimistic that things are going to settle down soon?
Well, Paul, you know, they can talk about this virus. All these people are getting out. Still, only 3,400 people have died out of 23 million people. I don't care how many catch it. It's the death rate to me that's important.
Yeah.
And again, they're inflating the death rate with persons that dying of heart attacks and cancer or dying with COVID. So out of 3,400 people, how many really died of the COVID virus?
I mean,
it's questionable.
Actually, I think the death rate's going down. The discovery of people that have become carriers has gone up. They're doing more testing, so that's inevitable. And even states like Florida and Texas, you know, southern states that have been somewhat open, I guess you could say, with businesses. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And you got to doubt a lot of what they're saying because, you know, the heat index here has been, about 106?
It's been very hot around here.
Isn't this virus not supposed to like the heat?
Correct. I think that's true.
Okay, so what's going on here, people? Wake up a little bit. But you know what? I'm going to play their game for now. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I'm looking for the end result.
So you do see the things are we are coming out of this. Is that what you feel?
Yeah, we're definitely going to come out of it. The American people are going to come out of it. Because if it just keeps going on, you know, in a week from now, they're going to get fed up with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is what's going to happen. This is how the American people are.
Yeah, you know, we are a positive group because we've been in a beautiful country for a long time, and we should appreciate that. Hopefully we will, and it'll be shown in November.
Yeah, but you know what? We'll see our patriotism on the 4th of July, what's really going on.
Yeah, that's another time. Yeah, very
good. And then, you know, they're supposed to tip the Lincoln Memorial over there, right? Not the Lincoln Memorial. Lincoln, when he freed the slaves, the statue. I'm having a brain fart. I can't think of
what it is. You're talking about that statue with the slave that's at his
Right.
That was actually created. That whole thing was created by freed slaves.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're thinking. Really,
how ignorant are people?
They are.
Abraham Lincoln took a bullet in the head to free these people.
Yeah.
Because he freed them.
Yes.
Are they that ignorant that they don't know that history? They should be kissing that guy's feet.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, the ones that are doing this.
No, exactly.
Are not. They don't like the United States. They don't like capitalism. Okay? It's more than that. They're using this as an excuse.
Well, I would be willing to bet 80% of these people that are doing all this crap are Bernie Sanders supporters.
It's socialism. You know, they hate capitalism. They hate what our country stands for.
And it's his supporters that are like this. They're all these little millennials, and there are some older hippies in there that never worked all their life. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But they're all Bernie Sanders supporters from Bicey.
I'd love to see one of those big statues land on a few of those people with the ropes.
It landed on one of them.
Oh, good.
Yeah, about a week ago.
I hope it knocks some sense into them.
He was in serious condition from what I understand.
Holy Toledo, wow.
I mean, these people are just being stupid. And you know what? Paul's going to catch up. And all these Democrats that are letting it happen, Paul, I believe their political careers are over.
Boy, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? If Nancy
Paul,
Pelosi...
what else could it be?
Wouldn't it be funny if people like Schumer and Pelosi lost their their longtime taxpayer-supported jobs. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, well, you know, Paul, I think it's on the verge.
Okay.
And, you know, they keep talking. If California turns red, huh? See what's going to happen.
Oh, my. If California turns red, this would be the biggest one-side victory by a president.
And look at the people in Seattle, the citizens. They're tired of it, Paul.
I think a lot of them
and
are.
And then all these little people, now they're walking off their compound, too, you know. A lot of them are leaving.
Yeah, well, good. That bodes well. Well, Andrew, thank you, my friend. I am looking forward to talking with you again on, I guess it's Tuesday.
Yep, and you know, I got to apologize because I swore the other day, and I never should have. So, I had to apologize, Paul. I was very upset the other day with things that were going on, and my blood pressure was ready to blow the top of my head off.
Not a problem, Andrew. You usually are very good about that. I don't think anybody noticed it.
He yelled at me, but that's all right. All right, my friend.
You have
a good weekend.
Same to
you,
buddy.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. All right, there he goes. Very energized. Going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 richest golfers of all time. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place, and do anything that you want to do. But honey, lay off of my shoes, don't you?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment. And, you know, I'm starting to miss sports. I didn't think I would, but I wouldn't mind seeing a baseball game or something on television. I don't know where they are with all of that, but I thought I would talk with our sports expert here, Big Ed, about it. Are we going to have a baseball season? It sounds like we might next month, but I'm still wondering. I mean, have they locked that in?
Yeah, it's pretty much locked in. They're agreed to it. They're going to, I believe, next week it is. They're going to start their training camps or whatever you want to call them now. Spring training. It's not spring, but training anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then first game should be in about a month.
So how many games are we going to play?
There'll be 60 games 60? Total.
Okay.
Which will put playoffs and World Series in November.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Boy, yeah. That would be interesting if they played...
New York.
In the North in November with
Chicago.
The snow pouring down Chicago.
Yeah.
The Cubbies or something like that. Well, you know what? It will be kind of nice to see baseball. Have you missed any... Have you gotten used to not having sports on television to watch?
Well, I like watching... Sunshine Fox 1 Florida, and they're running old Rays games.
Do you watch them?
Yeah, because they always win.
Oh, yeah.
And some Lightning games. They always win.
Yeah. I could not watch a rerun of a game that I knew what the outcome
was. Well, I can't remember every score. I just know they're going to win.
Yeah.
So
you knew they're going to win. Okay. Secondly, real quickly, Tom Brady. He's out there throwing the ball around. Some people are criticizing him because of the pandemic. What do you think?
I think they're more criticizing because they're jealous that they've come to on their own to get going and starting to work. They're not tackling each other, just throwing balls and going over plays, and I'm sure they're being safe and clean about it, so yeah. I don't see a problem with
that.
You know, ever since we got Tom Brady, we've adopted the jealousy of Tom Brady from around the league.
Yeah, good old Tommy.
I see what the Pats went through for so long.
Tom, you have to say for Tom Brady, he does bring out the emotions in people. There's something about him. Okay, real quickly, we got to get to our top 10, Ed. Get over there on the drums. This is from Collider.com. These are the top 10 richest golfers of all time. So here we go. Number 10, Vijay Singh. Have you ever heard of him?
Yep.
$75 million. Best Fijian pro golfer in history. All right. Number 9. Rory McIlroy, $80 million. One of four players to win three majors by the age of 25. Number 8. Now, I've not heard of this one, Ed. Maybe you have. Ernie Els.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
You have? $85 million. He's number 8.
I couldn't pick him out in the crowd.
Greatest South African professional golfer in history. Wow. Number 7. Fred Couples. Heard of him, yeah. $120 million guy's worth. Okay, number 6. Another South African. Remember Gary Player?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. $250 million.
Mm.
Wow. Where does he get all that? I guess he designs a lot of golf courses and stuff like that, or has them. Number 5. Greg Norman. Doesn't he live down here somewhere?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, he's worth $300 million. Let's find out where he lives.
Is this prize money or overall endorsements? All
this
that
is
stuff?
Overall.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
Well, we know who wins that, but go ahead.
Okay. Number 4. Jack Nicklaus, the Golden Bear. I'm not surprised. $320 million. You know that they don't earn all of that on the golf course.
No.
You know that. Okay. Number 3. Phil Mickelson.
Mm-hmm.
$375 million. Did you know he spent more than 25 consecutive years in the top 50?
Wow.
Phil Mickelson? Mm. Amazing. Number 3, or 2. Number 2, Arnold Palmer. Good old Arnold Palmer. He's no longer with us, but he was worth $700 million. You know, he had all those golf courses.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, I know this is a toughie for you, Ed. Who do you think is the world's richest of all time?
Got to be that guy, Tiger something, Tiger Woods, probably over a billion.
Have you ever heard of Bobby Jones?
No.
Did you know Bobby Jones was the world's greatest golfer?
No. Nope.
Considered of all time. Did you know he co-founded the Masters?
No. Nope.
Okay. Well, the answer is, you're right.
Yeah.
It was Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, $850 million.
Oh, is that all?
Dollars.
Slacker, I thought he was over a billion.
To play golf, you get to get paid that kind of money? Man. What are we doing, Ed? We got to change our jobs. All right. Hey, everybody, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Monday. Please drive safely, be safe, and always remember, freedom works. Hey, I just met you.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.